بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the book of Tawheed, which is Al-Qawl Al-Mufid, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, chapter 4, part number 11 for our recording. And this is on the 19th of the 12th month of the Hijjah, 1425, corresponding to January 30th, 2005. Chapter 4. The author put the title الخوف من الشرك, fear of shirk, fear of polytheism, fear of ascribing partners to Allah in worship. And then he cited the following verse from the Noble Quran, the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4, verse 116. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with Him in worship, but He forgives except that anything else to whom He pleases. To whom He pleases. Earlier in the chapter before, the author emphasized تحقيق التوحيد, purification of توحيد, meaning purification of worship to Allah alone. And then in the second chapter, the author focused on the fact that anyone who is sincere in worship and declares himself innocent from ascribing partners to Allah will be admitted to paradise without reckoning and without punishment. And then this is this chapter on fear of shirk. Why did he introduce this chapter fearing of shirk? Fearing of ascribing anything or anyone to Allah in worship. Why did he introduce this? Because a person may think that indeed he had attained the true worship to Allah, while in fact he may not be so. And that's why some of the righteous predecessors mentioned. There is nothing more difficult that to strive against or to strive rather to attain than the striving to attain sincerity in worship. Why? Because the self is clinging to this worldly life. It seeks its glamour and prestige and leadership and so forth. Not only that, the self also may intend and seek this life while thinking they are trying to achieve or attain the hereafter. This is due to diminishing in the degree of sincerity, imperfection. Few are the ones who try to attain the hereafter in their actions. And that's why the author introduced this matter of fearing shirk, fearing ascribing partners to Allah in worship. And he mentioned in this two verses. The first verse which we cited earlier, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with Him in worship. Because this is transgression against the pure right of Allah. This is transgression against the pure right of Allah. And that is Tawheed, singling Him alone in worship. As to the sins and acts of disobedience, like adultery, fornication, theft, the self may have a share in that, in it what may attain from the lusts and so forth. But with respect to shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, this is a transgression against the right of Allah the Most High. And the self has no share in that. I mean, it does not really look for in that for something of to fulfill a certain desire or lust. However, it is a transgression and injustice. That's why Allah in chapter 31 of the Noble Quran, verse 13, Surah Luqman, chapter of Luqman, 31:13, He stated, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. When Luqman was admonishing his son, he told him, O my son, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ, join not in worship others with Allah, verily joining others in worship with Allah is a great wrong indeed. What is intended here by shirk? Is it the major shirk or just all shirk? Some of the scholars mentioned that this covers all types of shirk, major and minor. Like making an oath by other than Allah. They included it into this, meaning that Allah does not forgive the one who may commit the minor shirk. As to the major sins like theft, drinking, alcoholic drinks and so forth, this is left to Allah. The judgment is left to Allah. It is under His will. He may forgive them. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, Ibn Taymiyyah, had different opinions on this. In one opinion, he concluded that Allah does not forgive the shirk, even the minor one. In another opinion, he said that the shirk which Allah does not forgive is the major shirk. Nevertheless, caution from all forms of shirk is required. Because why it is like this? Because the generality of the verse makes it possible that the minor shirk is covered by the generality of the verse. Because when Allah said, "And yushraka bih," that Allah forgives not that part that should be set up with him, this is a negation. And it is general, indicating a general meaning within the context of the verse. And then he said at the end of the verse, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ, but he forgives except that anything else. Meaning that which is lesser than shirk. That which is lesser than ascribing partners to Allah in worship. The second verse which the author cited is the saying of Ibrahim, of Abraham, alayhi salam, which is in chapter 14, verse 35, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. And remember when Abraham said, O my Lord, make this city Mecca one of peace and security, and keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. Away from worshipping idols. It is said that, keep me and my sons meaning none except those whom we know that they are from his lions. Particularly we mean Ishaq, Ismail and Ishaq, Ismail and Ishaq. And it is also mentioned that the verse may cover also his offsprings. And this is more preponderating. Why? Because of the other verses indicating that Ibrahim addressed the people who were from his offspring. And it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that not all of them responded. It is the same as with our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When he invoked Allah, I prayed to my Lord that he may not destroy my community by a prevailing famine and not give their control to an enemy who annihilates them en masse, except from among themselves. My Lord said to me, Muhammad, if I issue a decree, it is not withdrawn. I have promised your ummah that I will not destroy it by a prevailing famine, and I shall not give their control to an enemy except from among themselves. So, that was not, that part in particular was not answered. Allah did not respond in that case when he said, except from among themselves. What is meant by the statement of Ibrahim in this verse, wajnubni, and keep me, meaning keep me at one side and the idols on another side, away from each other. Ibrahim alayhi salam therefore feared shirk upon himself or for himself, and he is the chosen beloved by Allah and the leader of those who submitted themselves in sincere worship to Allah. Then what about us? Don't feel secure from shirk. Don't feel secure from falling into shirk and from falling into hypocrisy. Because no one feels secure from hypocrisy except a hypocrite. And no one fears hypocrisy except a believer. And that's why one of the companions said, I encountered 30 from the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them fearing hypocrisy for themselves. And this is reported in Al-Bukhari. And this is Umar, the leader of the believers. Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. He feared for himself hypocrisy. So he told Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he told the companion Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah be pleased with them both. Hudhayfa, he was the companion whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the names of the hypocrites, informed him of their secret. So Umar one day told Hudhayfa, he came to him and asked him if he was on the list. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he name me amongst those who named from the hypocrites? Hudhayfa told him, no. وَلَا أُزَكِّي بَعْدَكَ أَحَدًا, and I don't sanctify anyone after you. What really Umar wanted is to have, wanted to feel comfort to be at ease regarding this matter. Otherwise, we know that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام testified that Umar is one of the people of paradise. And it cannot be said that Umar wanted to urge the people to fear hypocrisy and that he himself did not fear it. Because this is in opposition to the apparent meaning of the text. Some people, some of the scholars, sometimes refer to certain things which the Prophet adds to himself. They say he intended to teach the Ummah by doing so, by adding these matters to himself. And he wanted to make it clear to others. As for example, when they refer to the statement, the invocation of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, O Allah, forgive me. They say the Prophet ﷺ did not say, O Allah, forgive me, because he committed sins. They say he did it to teach people to ask forgiveness. This is really contrary to the origin of the text. Then, so we don't say as they do. Then we go back to what Ibrahim invoked in this verse, and keep me away, meaning, and my sons, away from worshipping idols. And idols is the plural of an idol. And this is whatever is made on the form of a man or otherwise to be worshipped. Asnam. This is the meaning of sanam. It's a plural for what has a human image or otherwise. And this is worship and is worshipped other than Allah. Said to be worshipped other than Allah. As to the, this is the meaning of sanam. As to the wathan, is anything worshipped other than Allah, regardless of its form or shape. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, invoking Allah, لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. Don't make of my grave an idol, to set it as an idol for worship. So really the idol is more comprehensive than the term sanam, because it's not limited to a certain image, human or otherwise. Certainly in this verse Ibrahim is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be firm on Tawheed. Because if Allah keeps shirk away from him, keep these asnam away from him, then he continues to be on Tawheed. So the point of evidence from this verse is that Ibrahim feared shirk for himself and for his offspring. Yet we know that he is the leader of the Hunafa, those who are sincere and worship none except Allah. And he is the leader of the Muwahideen, and except for, of course, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the leader of all. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was cited, and it is the following. After the two verses, the author brought the following hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ فَسُئِلَ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ الرِّيَاءُ. It is narrated in the hadith that Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, what I fear most for you is a form of shirk, minor, lesser. When he was asked about it, he said, الرياء, showing off الرياء. The hadith, what is the hadith? That the hadith means that which is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ from sayings or actions or approvals or descriptions. This is the meaning of hadith. And what is the meaning of the khabar, the report? It is what is attributed to him or to other than him. Alaykum as-salam. And what is the athar? The athar is what is attributed to other than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning to the companion and to those who may come after the companion, except if it is restricted. Like if someone says, in the athar reported from the Messenger, then in this case it comes to indicate that this is related to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in general, the athar is what is related to other than the Messenger. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ, what I fear for most you is the الشرك الأصغر, the lesser shirk. And this address is to the Muslims, because he is the Muslim, he is the one to fear most for falling in the lesser shirk. Not all mankind. Ar-Riya, it means to worship Allah so that the person may be seen by others and thus get their praise for that, for being a worshipper of Allah. So it doesn't mean that the worship is directed to the people, no. Because if this is done, then it will be of the major type. It will be of the major shirk. And the showing off could be also intending to be heard by people so that they praise him, so that people hear him making the worship, and therefore he gets the praise. So this is also from riya, from show off. Now, if on the other hand he intends by his worship to teach others, for others to follow him on the correct way, then this is not considered show off, rather this is considered from da'wah. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَعَلْتُ هَذَا لِتَأْتَمُّ بِي وَتَعْلَمُ صَلَاتِي, I have done this so that you follow me and you learn my way of prayers. And the riya, showing off, as regard to its nullification of the worship, is classified into two types. Number one, that it is in the origin of the ibadah. Meaning, The person does not perform the worship except for showing off. Then in this case, his deed is annulled and nullified and rejected. This is based on the hadith of Abi Huraira, where the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah the Most High said, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءَ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. I am one who does not stand to have a partner. Anyone, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ مَعِي فِيهِ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. Anyone setting up partners in worship with me, I will leave him in his shirk. I will abandon him with one who he associates with Allah. This is the first category, or the first, yes. The second is, أن يكون الرياء طارئا على العبادة. Is that the show off occurs out of the sudden, extra, unexpected. It means that the origin of the worship is for Allah. However, this sudden move to show off comes in, and in this type it is also subdivided into two types. This category is divided into two types. Either the person repels and wards off this riya, then in this case it does not harm him. It is of no harm to him. For example, some person performing salah, praying one rak'ah, then some people came in, and in the second rak'ah, when he saw them coming, something affected his heart, so that he starts to prolong the ruku' or sujood, or he cries. Now, if he repels this and he wards it off, then there is no harm upon him, because he strove to repel and ward off this impulse. The second is, he goes along with it. If he goes along with this drive to show off, then anything, كل عمل ينشأ عن الرياء, then every action sprouting from this is nullified. For example, if he prolongs the standing in the prayer, or ruku', or the prostration, or cries, all of this is nullified, annulled. Now, the question, does this nullification extend to the entire worship or no? We say this may include the following possibilities. First possibility, or first situation. If أن يكون آخر العبادة مبنيا على أولها, if the last part of the worship depends upon its beginning, such that its beginning is not correct, having the last of it corrupt. In this case, all the worship is corrupt. Example, the prayer. It's not possible for the prayer, it's not possible that the last part of the prayer is corrupt and the first is not. In this case, the entire salah is annulled if the show off gets into the salah during the salah and he does not repeat it. The second situation, so the first one is when the end of the worship or the last part of the worship is depending upon the beginning of it. Then the second situation, the beginning of the worship is unrelated to the end, separate from the end, such that the beginning is correct even if the end is corrupt. So anything which preceded the occurrence of show off is correct. Anything which precedes the riyah is correct. And anything that comes after is nullified. As an example, a person having 100 riyals or $100. So he gives in charity half of it sincerely for Allah's sake. Then he gives the second half for show off. The first half is acceptable and the second is not. Why? Because the second is unrelated, separate from the first one. Inshallah, we stop here and we continue the rest of the discussion on this matter of riyah in the next talk, inshallah ta'ala. أستغفر الله العظيم وأتوب إليه وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.